Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 157 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, Melanie and I are going to dig into an update about her internet connection. It's a little bit better on that end of things. We're going to talk about some makeup. We're going to talk about some skincare, a recent facial Melanie had, and maybe weigh in on a few things that have happened in the last few days on the internet. It's going to be fantastic. Before we get to all of that, though, I want to let you know that we are so excited to have a brand new t-shirt with Milk and Honey Teas. It is the cutest gray t-shirt, and on the front in white, it says, "Won't he do it?" And you can find that t-shirt if you go to milkandhoneyteas.com. It comes in sizes small through 3XL, and it's 100% cotton. It's kind of a boxier fit tee, super comfortable for the winter and PJs. So check it out, milkandhoneyteas.com, and we hope you enjoy episode 157. Hey, everybody, this is Sophie. This is Big Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
Okay, that's so much better because that time you talked right after I did.
Okay, that's helpful. Well, as you know, I've spent part of my afternoon on the phone with Julius at AT&T, and he assured me that he's reset my modem and that I am at my full functioning internet speed.
Okay. All right. Well, we can only hope and trust that that he has in fact performed the service he says he performed.
Yes. Well, and I asked him, he said that I am getting the service that's at the speed at which I'm currently paying for. And I said, okay, so here's my question for you. Is there a next level of speed that I can get? And he told me that what I'm paying for is all that is currently available in my area. I'm as fast as I can get for where I live, essentially. But I will have you know, just because I want to say this for the record, that when I was talking to Gully earlier today and I said, Sophie and I have to podcast, I said, but my internet has been terrible and we've just been having a really hard time. And she said, you know what the problem is? And I said, what? She said, it's because it's been so windy. I'm just saying. She did. She said, and here's the thing, I'm going to offer this valid point. She said, because in San Antonio, it's like a desert from like April until now, and it's everything so still. And then what happens is October comes and the wind starts blowing and everything starts to malfunction. So I just want to say.
Well, this feels very reasonable. This feels so reasonable.
That I am not alone. Because she said that she has Grande.com or Grande.com or whatever is her internet. She said it never acts up and it's even been acting up. And she feels certain that it's the wind.
Okay. All right.
So I'm just saying.
I feel like you had Grande when we first met each other.
I don't think we've ever had Grande. Maybe we did.
Maybe not.
I can't remember. I don't know.
You had SBC Global is what you had.
We did. And then it became AT&T. Like we just got morphed into AT&T. Because remember, my original email address was like pshankle@sbcglobal.net, which is still my email address for some antiquated accounts that I've just never changed.
Yes, yes. Well,
even though that's email I can't access anymore. So don't email me at that email because I won't get it.
That's right. Well, I'm so glad that hopefully things are better, that the winds have died down in San Antonio.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So,
and that all is well.
Yes, we will see. But maybe it is. Maybe it's the wind.
Well, so we don't have a ton to talk about. I know we have kind of kicked off the last couple of weeks with football. We don't have a ton to talk about, really. A&M won this past weekend. State lost to LSU. Alex and I went to the game. We had a fine time. But the real delight in our household was last Friday night. Now, Melanie knows this in part. But
yes.
I have been to many high school football games over the course of my life. And I really do think that maybe except for when my high school won the state championship when I was a junior, it was my favorite high school football game I've ever been to this past Friday night. It was fantastic.
That is delightful. Tell us about it. Tell us more.
Well, here's the thing. It's we weren't necessarily supposed to win. We weren't expected to win. And we were playing a really good team here in Birmingham called Ramsey. They're just such a great team, so much tradition, a fantastic coach. And so it's just one of those games you kind of look forward to because it's, you know, they're just one of the best teams we'll play all year. And we were not, we did okay in the first half, but we were down a good bit when we went to halftime. But in the second half, one of the guys in Alex's grade made a catch. I still see it in my memory, and I don't know how he caught that ball. And we scored right after that. So suddenly it was 20-14. And then late in the game, one of our junior guys caught a pass. Again, he was right in front of us, and I don't know how he got his hands around that ball. But we went up 21-20, which was wow. And I looked at my friend Stephanie, and I was like, we're going to win this game.
Oh, my gosh.
And so there's four super tense minutes left, and Ramsey has the ball, and they drive like we pin them after kickoff back like at the five, and wow. they drive the whole length of the field, and they get down. I can't remember what yard line they were on, but I mean, they are so close to scoring, but it's fourth down. And so with like 20 seconds left, they send out the field goal kicker to kick, but they haven't made an extra point all night. So it's dicey, right? Because you know their kicking situation is probably not the strongest part of their game.
Yeah.
But they go to kick that field goal, and I could hardly look. And right as the Ramsey special teams come out on the field, our friend Joey leans over to me and he says, like in the most melodramatic voice you can imagine, he says, "Grab your three stones, David," and I almost wet my pants just because we were all so tense. Yes. I mean, you know,
yes.
And anyway, so Ramsey goes, they kick the ball and we block it. And wow. I'm here to tell you, like, to see, and like Alex is not even in the game.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter at all. Uh-huh. It doesn't matter. Like, to see his friends and his teammates, and then to see him on that sideline, and they go crazy. It was incredible. It was so great. And then, I mean, after the game, I bet they all stayed on the field for 20 minutes. You know, I mean, it was just, and all the students ran down to the edge of the field, but then our kids and the Ramsey kids made a huge circle in the middle and prayed. It was just, it was just like, it was one of those games where the two teams respect one another. You know what I mean?
And yeah.
And like you almost hated for them to lose like that. But it was so much grit and so much effort and so much heart on our side. And just to see how the boys encouraged one another and cheered for one another. And I don't know, it was one of those nights where it was like, oh, high school sports, you just own me. Like,
yes,
you're the best thing I know. And yeah. I don't know. It was so sweet. And so anyway, it was great. And so when we went to Starkville the next day, I bet Alex and I talked about the game. We talked about the high school game for probably an hour of the trip. And I was like, you will remember that for the rest of your life. He'll remember it for the rest of his life, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
He'll remember those boys block. I mean, he'll just remember it. And it's fantastic.
That's so fun. That is so fun. We apparently, our high school game was also exciting this week, and we were down by two touchdowns with like 2 minutes left, and we came back, tied it up, and we won in overtime. I missed it because I was in Abilene speaking at Abilene Christian. So I had to hear about it later, but I do love a high school football game. It's hard to beat Friday Night Lights.
I mean, it really is. And we had tailgated before the game, and it was really like, it was cool. Like, you needed, I wore a jacket.
Which is saying something.
Yeah, it really is. Even when under a tailgate tent, when I put my jacket on, Stephanie said, "Let it be known that Sophie is adding a jacket." Cause I mean, you know,
we went to New York back in the spring and I could hardly bother with my coat. So anyway, it was just, it was crisp and cool. And I don't know, it was just such a great night. And I was just so happy. I was so happy for the kids. I was so happy for our coaches. I'm just so grateful. Fun. Yeah. Over and over. I just kept thinking, I'm so grateful that for whatever reason, Alex had interest in this particular area and it stuck. Like, I'm just, yes. I'm grateful that we're at this stage of life because so many things don't stick. I'm glad this one stuck. And anyway.
That's so fun. I love that. That's a good Friday night.
It's a good Friday night. So how was Abilene?
Abilene was good. I got there and I drove in. First of all, I'm going to tell you that to get to Abilene from San Antonio, you literally drive to the middle of nowhere. It's a lot of wide open spaces, which I did not mind because it's pretty. It's a pretty drive, a lot of country roads. You drive through a lot of small towns. I drove through Mason, Texas, where they had fashioned some hay bales into a football player that looked like their high school football team. Like it had like, it was like purple and pads, which I thought was super cute. And then I spoke at the Sigma Theta Chi 50th anniversary. So Abilene doesn't have traditional sororities. They have social clubs, but it's pretty much a sorority, but they're not national sororities. So it was their 50th. They were founded in 1969. So it was their 50th deal. And it was fun. It was fun to see all those, 50 years of women that have gone through Abilene Christian that were part of that and part of that club. And it was super fun to see them. And the original women, they had a lot of the women there that had originally founded it in 1969. Aww. They were there and they were super sweet. So it was fun. And then I went back and to my Hampton Inn because everything at Abilene closes. So I went back to my Hampton Inn and ate some snack mix that was in my gift bag, you know, as we do in this glamorous speaking life. And then I did not sleep great, you know. And then I got up at 8 in the morning and I drove back home. And so I was back home. So it was funny, is Saturday morning, Perry had left to go to the ranch and had taken the dogs. I got back home by, I guess, about 12:30. It took me about 4.5 hours to get home. And I came in and Caroline was still asleep. She hadn't even woken up yet. So
she hardly knew you were gone.
No, didn't really even matter that I was gone. So, so that was it. And then we got up and I was wiped out and literally laid on the couch and watched football the rest of the day. She had a cold or she started feeling bad on Saturday. And then I didn't feel bad on Saturday. I was just tired. And then I started feeling bad on Sunday. And then, as you know, I woke up Monday morning with like a sore throat. And I just have not felt great in the whole scheme of things.
Well, we're so glad that you were able to rebound enough to record this episode of the podcast. It means the world.
Well, the show must go on, right, is what needs to happen. So I felt like I needed to persevere through podcast excellence. I even called AT&T. I've tried to work out my problems there. I'm trying to be my best self all the way around.
Well, now, one additional thing that happened was I got home from the football game Friday night, and you know, we were so excited and so elated, and I thought about you because I thought, well, there's no way. I think I even texted you late that night that was like, we had the most amazing win. Or maybe it was the next day, but anyway, as I was looking around on Twitter, I was like, oh, look at all these fun clips of the blocked field goal and all that kind of stuff. And then it suddenly came to my attention that there was a thread related to something that somebody had said about our friend Beth Moore.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's not often when I read something and immediately I think, or is the smoke only coming out of my ears or is the fire actually coming out of the top of my head? But that was sort of my immediate reaction. And so I sat and I pondered on that and I couldn't make my peace with it. I couldn't make sense of it. I was just so distressed. Mm-hmm. And finally kind of composed my thoughts enough to respond on the thread that I had read. And, but I couldn't stop thinking about it. Now, I have no interest at this point, in this whole situation in rehashing who said it or any of that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I just thought maybe it might be, it might be healing. It might be it might help to sort of turn this towards something positive, because since one of the things that was said about Beth was that she needed to go home, I thought maybe we could just, because we know her and love her and respect her and have learned so much from her, I thought maybe we could just mention a few things that we would love for Beth to do that don't involve going home. Like, I thought maybe we could just articulate some of the reasons why she is so needed and so valuable and so loved, right where she is. So,
yeah.
Here's my thing. We're always going to have places we disagree, specifically in the body of Christ. We don't have to look far to find places where we may not all line up. Mm-hmm. But I what I keep thinking about is the scripture that says to love one another with brotherly affection, to outdo one another in showing honor. If you really feel like someone is in error and you don't feel like you can go to that person, granted, I do think he should have gone to her if he was so concerned. Mm-hmm. But you can address those things. You can talk about those things in a way that does not turn somebody into a punchline. You can talk about those things in a way that still very much esteems the person that you're talking about. Because, you know, we could sit here and we can make a list of 50 teachers, 50 preachers who are currently in ministry, and it's likely that we won't line up with on every single thing, but there are ways to talk about those things that are charitable and they're helpful and that don't belittle or demean somebody else's ministry.
Yeah, that's right, because we can support. Yeah.
So here's the first thing I'd like to see Beth do, the first thing I'd like to see her do is to keep going. I'd like to see her keep going.
Yes.
I feel like she has had a voice that's so unique and so needed, particularly, I mean, I would say in my adult life, you know, especially as my life from the time that I sort of entered into motherhood and all that kind of stuff, she's been a huge voice in my life. But particularly the last 3 or 4 years, just in church culture, her voice has been so important for abuse survivors and for racial issues. She has been needed and necessary and steady and faithful. And I want to see her. I want her to keep going, because I feel like the Lord has been so instructive through her for so many of us, and we need it.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. I think number one, she's a spiritual mom to so many of us in the way that she has guided us and led us. And the bottom line is people forget, because I think you and I, it depends on where you are in your age right now. But like, I vividly remember a time when it felt like there were no women, there were no Bible studies taught by a woman who felt relatable that I wanted to do, you know, and now there's so many. I mean, it's like you can, it was funny the other day, somebody was talking about a Bible study they were doing, and it was by somebody I'd never even heard of. I can't remember. And I was like, there are so many women out there writing Bible studies and teaching and doing all that, that we forget that really just 20 years ago, there was none of that. Like, that just didn't exist. And so to have a woman's voice speak into women's issues, And not just women's issues, but just from that perspective of being a wife and being a mom and all of that stuff, it's so relatable. And what she's done to grow so many of us in our faith is, I mean, it can never be counted. There's one Beth Moore, and I think God has used her in powerful ways. So I think, yes, she needs to keep going. I think she also needs to stay on Instagram, because she is a delight, and a joy to me on Instagram. Mm-hmm. No matter what she's talking about, whether it's serious or whether we're just seeing her grandkids or we're seeing her dog or whatever, it makes me happy.
I agree. I enjoy it. Like I enjoy Beth on all the social medias. Mm-hmm. And I think she's just a safe place for so many people, you know, that's a lot to carry. That's no small thing to be a safe place for that many people. It's no small thing to sit where she has, where she currently sits, even because she has received so much criticism, but she has stayed in it. I mean, she has faithfully stayed in it, and I admire her so much and love her so much, and treasure her voice so much.
Yeah.
So we think Beth needs to keep going, for sure. We think that Beth needs to stay on Instagram.
That's valid.
And I don't want to talk about the issue at hand in a way that's not gracious because they weren't gracious to her. But my hope is that as she continues to stand firm, I hope she will find that there are a lot of us who stand with her, and that we will speak up and we will follow her lead, and we will graciously speak up and speak out when voices try to enter the fray in ways that are unkind or dishonoring or dismissive. That dismissive part really gets me. There was something today where I felt like there was somebody who was super dismissive of another female Bible teacher. And I have just decided I'm done being quiet about it. Like, you know, I mean, not that I'm going to patrol the internet, like, but it's not hard. It doesn't take a lot of time in that context to stand up for somebody. And so I hope that as she continues to move forward, she will feel the support of a lot of women who love her and who stand with her. So again, we may not agree on every single issue that arises. But we can love one another well. We can honor one another with how we handle stuff, and we can support our sisters.
Well, and I think to me, that's one of the things that Beth has taught me, and even watching her on social media, like on Twitter in particular, is I know that there are people that I see her encourage and lead and be kind to and be gracious to that I know she doesn't agree with on every single theological issue.
Right.
You know, it's that whole thing of, to me, she's even led that way where I'm like, that doesn't mean just because I don't agree with this person on these couple of issues doesn't mean that I can't interact with them, because here's what we do agree on: Jesus. And so let's find that common ground and what we can do. And I think when I look at all the different teachers that have spoken into my life, I love a Beth Moore. I've loved a Kelly Mentor. Why did I say mentor? A Kelly Mentor. A Kelly Mentor. If she's also parkour, known.
Parkour with Kelly Mentor.
Parkour, mentor. Mentor has been a mentor to me. But I look at different Bible teachers, Priscilla Shire, that have really helped me in my walk. And here's the thing. There, another woman could say, they didn't really resonate with me. Those aren't the ones that I like. But it's like, if somebody's out there speaking the name of Jesus and teaching about him, that's going to look different. Different people are going to relate to the way different people. So it's biblical that God needs all of us with all of our different thoughts and mindsets and backgrounds and histories and teaching styles and all of that, because one person isn't going to appeal to everybody. So like, why can't we encourage everybody and their gifts and what God has called them to do, even if that's different than what we in particularly like or care for?
Right. Yeah. And you know, nobody's saying we have to go plant a church with everybody.
No.
You know, like we can esteem people that we may have some we're not doing our words well today. Mm-hmm. That we may have some fundamental disagreements
Mentor.
With.
Yeah.
So I feel more encouraged than ever and more sort of resolved than ever that I'm going to stand up for my girls, not just people that I happen to know personally, but like, there's no reason for it. And a friend of mine texted me the other night and she said, why in the world would somebody who's not a Christian want to be a Christian if they look at the way that we treat one another? And I mean, if that is not the truth, we eat our own, and it's heartbreaking. Like, it's heartbreaking, to see somebody like a Beth, who has for her entire adult life followed Jesus in every way that she could to love and serve his church, and that somebody would be so dismissive of that and so callous about that. We can address things where we feel like, if we feel like somebody's theology is in error, we have all kinds of avenues to address that without talking about them in a way that is hurtful or that is arrogant. So
yeah.
So yeah. I'm more resolved than ever to stand up for people and to stand with people who are honestly trying to do their very best to walk out whatever the assignment the Lord has given them.
Yes, I agree. I feel like Jesus has taken us all, we're like the family, and he's taken us all on a road trip to somewhere fabulous, and we're worried about who has more space in the back seat and who has the better snacks. Like, you know, really.
That is like the best analogy. That is such a good analogy.
Well, yes. It just came to me. But yes. It's that whole thing of, and I feel like what he wants to turn around is go, stop it. None of this even matters. Just focus on where we're going. Just focus on the big picture. Like, stop it. It does not matter who has the beef jerky right now. Just stop. Like, it's just ridiculous.
That is such a good analogy. I'm so proud of you for that. That's so good. I don't know. It's just, I hope that on the other side of this, and this is, I mean, listen, this thing was just a small piece of what's been going on for a while. So
yeah.
Beth is no stranger to unkind remarks, but golly, I hope she feels encouraged by the ways that women and men stood up with her and for her. Again, not to defend every theological point she has ever made, but to honor her as somebody who has lived a life of service to the Lord and who has loved Jesus above every single thing in her life. And so anyway, I just adore her, and I know you adore her, and I've never known anybody with more integrity, I don't think, in my life. Mm-hmm. So anyway, all that to say, we got big hopes and dreams for what's ahead for Beth. And golly, if she's not a prophetic voice in the church right now, I don't know who is.
Yep. 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 And if she goes home, I think we're all sunk. I think we need, I don't think any of us need to go home. I don't think any of us need to go home. I think we need to all keep going.
Yeah. Because what I have seen her do over and over and over again, what she's done with both of us, what I've seen her do in pretty much any situation where I have seen her one-on-one with a woman who writes or speaks, is to champion them, to encourage them, to she calls people forward all the time. She is deeply invested in the generation behind her, the generation behind that, and really wants to see women come to a place where they walk out whatever the Lord has given them in terms of assignments with confidence and with joy. And so it's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So there's that.
Now, this is a completely different area. But as you know, we've been having our bathroom, redone.
Yes.
And so we were super excited. And last week, the tile was going up in the shower. And so that was really exciting to see, you know, it starts to look like an actual shower not just like the end of the bathroom that's gutted. I mean, the whole thing's gutted. But anyway, so they grouted one day last week, and we had a super busy day and didn't get home until that night. And when David and I walked in the bathroom, honestly, it was like you couldn't hear it except in your head, but there was a little bit of a wonk, wonk, wonk. It was just clear that maybe it was not the best tile work. I don't have to get into the details. So, but it was just a lot of jagged edges, like some not great cuts. Things didn't line up. Like the seams weren't clean. And once the grout went in, it was obvious, like the grout lines weren't even, and it was just, So David emailed our very kind contractor and said, could you come by tomorrow? And so he did. And he looked at it for about 45 seconds when he got over to our house last Thursday. And he said, so I'd like to rip all this out.
Oh man.
And he kind of explained the circumstances of anyway, that part's not important. So today our bathroom is being demolished for the second time. So
that's good. That's great.
So the knee shower's coming out, and then they're going to retile it again. But I will say, in all of that, how nice to have a contractor who will look at something and instead of trying to convince us why it should be okay, he goes, no, this is not how I would want it to be. And so it needs to come out. That was deeply encouraging and kind.
That's good.
But I think we're going to set a record for how long we're without our bathroom. I don't really, at this point, we just share a bathroom with Alex. I don't really foresee if by Christmas we could be back in our own, that would be fantastic. But I will tell you, it feels like it's taken, you know, I mean, something's going to go wrong always.
Yes. Home repairs. Well, it was funny because we have, so our kitchen island is like a stained wood. And yes. So ever since we did it, it has something that we put on it, which I blame myself because I told Perry that the lady at the paint store told me this was the best finish to put on it to make it water resistant and all this stuff. But something about it, I don't know if it didn't set right, if it wasn't, but it's always been, it's just a little bit sticky, like it's not smooth and not in all places, but you can't, like it never, anyway, it's just been a problem. And so like it still has some glitter that's stuck on it from last Christmas that like you can't quite, stuff sticks to it. And so when I wipe it down, so it drives me crazy. So I had told Perry this week, he didn't have a lot going on work-wise. And I said, you know what it'd be a great week to do? I said, is to sand down that island and redo it. And so he was like, yeah, I have been needing to do that. And I said, and I really don't have a lot going on. I can even help you with it. And he said, that'll be a great idea. He said, because how could that possibly go wrong? He said, that won't lead to us having a huge fight at all, which I thought is so true. Because like all marital to-do projects always really go so smoothly and without any kind of fight or argument.
Right. This has promise written all over it. Mm-hmm. Just full of promise and hope. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But at this point, tomorrow's Wednesday, nothing has happened or gone in that direction. And I'm leaving town on Thursday. And so I kind of feel like it's probably not going to happen this week after all.
Okay. So are you stripping the countertop? What do you have to do to it?
I think what we're going to have to do is sand it down to its natural, back to its natural finish. Cause we've got to get this, whatever this varnish is on top, we've got to get that layer off. And so, but it's supposed to be super smooth because it's wood. So it's supposed to be super smooth. And on the sides, it is like something about the top either didn't set or it didn't work. I don't know from the beginning, cause it's only in certain places, but it drives me crazy.
I can totally see that. Yeah.
Yeah. It drives me crazy. And so it has driven me crazy for a long time, but it'll be a project because, I mean, it's part of our kitchen. So it's not like you can take it outside and sand it down. It's like you're going to have to, while it's in the kitchen, get a hand sander, I guess, and then repaint it. Because I love the color and everything. So we're going to have to restain it and then reseal it with something.
Well, that just sounds like an endeavor.
It is going to be an endeavor. And it's kind of why we've, I think, always put it off because then, you know, the smell and all that stuff, but it's got to be done because it's gotten progressively worse. Like more and more spots have started to be like that to where the whole thing just drives me crazy. So, and I don't know what went wrong because this lady at the paint store had told me, oh, this is what they use at the Hotel Emma. It's on their bar and it's the reason why it's waterproof and it won't ring and all that, which I was like, great. Cause that's what you want. If you're going to have a wood countertop in your kitchen is something that'll stay pretty and not get watermarks and all that on it. But that was not the case for this.
Did y'all stain it or did the painters stain it?
The painters did it. Yes. I think Perry helped. I don't remember.
Okay.
It was kind of like your bathroom. By the time we got to that point, I was like, okay, just get it done.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yes, ma'am.
You know,
Can I just pour the thing of stain on there and we'll just let it run and it'll be fine. That'll be good.
Yeah. Cause I don't know if you remember, but it literally was finished 3 days before Christmas.
Yes, because we both that year had our kitchens turned upside down at Christmas time.
Yeah. And for Thanksgiving, we were having to piecemeal together. I was having to cook on an outdoor stove and all that stuff. So, anyway, I would like to have it done before the holidays. That would be nice. So maybe next week will be the week.
Okay. Well, keep us posted. Yeah.
Something to hope for, something to shoot for.
Hello, everyone. I'm just interrupting to tell you a couple of things. Here's the first thing. If
you would like to check out some of the things that Melanie and I mention on this podcast, you can do that oh so easily by going to our Amazon store. And to do that, you go to amazon.com/shop/bigboo. That's amazon.com/shop/bigboo. You can look at so many of the things that we've mentioned. You can peruse them. You can click on the little comments icon and it will tell you a couple of things that we think about that thing. It's very fancy. So amazon.com/shop/bigboo. The second thing is if you would like to join us for a couple of extra episodes every month, you can do that by joining our Patreon. On Patreon, we do 2 bonus episodes every month for our subscribers. We do 1 closer look episode where we dig into something that fascinates us. And then we do a lengthy Q&A episode every month. And the October Q&A will actually be out in just a couple of days. So if you would like to join us on Patreon, you do that by going to patreon.com/bigboo. That's patreon.com/bigboo. It's $5 a month. Easy breezy. Bonus content and oh so fun. Alrighty, that's all I had to say. Hope you enjoy the rest of episode 157.
Now, on a totally different note than home repair, I had mentioned to you, so I went in last week to get a facial, and I had my first hydrofacial, which I feel like I'd been hearing people talk about, and I'd been dying to try.
A hydrofacial?
Yes. So supposedly what a hydrofacial does is it has some sort of like, it's like a little machine that's like, I guess it's like micro needling where they're like, zzz, zzz, and it's like cleaning stuff out. It like sucks stuff out of your pores.
Okay.
And then it infuses like deep moisturizing things into your pores, like vitamin C and hyaluronic acid and all this stuff. And it's supposed to plump your skin.
Okay.
And help with fine lines and all of that. And I don't know how I feel about it. I did it.
Oh, not the response I thought we were going to get.
No, it was, here's the thing. It was more expensive than a normal facial, but I thought, well, if it really does everything that it says it can do, because I do, it's supposed to really help like deeply moisturize your skin. And so I thought if it really does all that, it would be worth it. But I think at the end of the day, like when she finished, I was like, okay, my skin is glowing. Like it was very glowy and it felt very moisturized and all that stuff. But even when she showed me, she was like, look in the tube, you can see all the stuff that came out of your skin. And here's, I don't mean to be prideful about my skin. I don't mean to brag about my skin. I'm just saying that I am meticulous about my skincare.
Yes.
And so
yes.
What she wanted to have was this major reveal moment where she was going to show me how dirty and disgusting my pores were. And there was really like nothing. It was like clear water with a couple of like dead skin flakes in there. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm meticulous about my skin. I don't have a bunch of stuff in my pores.
I was going to say she did not know clearly what she was up against in that moment, just from the perspective of, ma'am, if you are looking for somebody who will cling to a regimen when it comes to her skin, you have met your poster child. Like this is your person who, whatever 17 steps you give her to walk through on a daily basis, she's not just going to do them. She's going to excel at them. She's going to do them thoroughly and with excellence. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. I'm not using a Neutrogena makeup wipe. I'm not going to sleep with my makeup on. Mm-hmm. I'm not just using Cetaphil. I'm doing a double cleanse. I'm exfoliating. I'm using chemical exfoliants. I'm doing all the stuff. So when she showed me the water, she was like, huh, yours looks pretty good. Like, and I was like, mm-hmm. I almost felt like a marketing error. Well, I was like, I'm sure you've had some dramatic reveals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So all that to say, I don't know that I would, I mean, maybe there's other ones, maybe another one would be better, but I don't know that it was any better than a normal facial personally. Now, I'm just saying that in case anybody's been thinking about it, but I feel like the other facial I've gotten there is called the Sparkler, where they do this deep vitamin C and all that stuff. And I feel like it's every bit as beneficial as the Hydrafacial.
Okay. Did it hurt?
That's it. No, it didn't hurt. It kind of felt like it, you know what it reminded me of? It's like microdermabrasion. Like it felt pretty much like a cat was licking my face is how it felt.
Listen, you just gave some esthetician an idea. Like, we could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, it felt like that. So it was very exfoliating. And I mean, and my skin does look, it looked good. I mean, like it's not that it, and it definitely did plump it up. I just don't know that overall she was like, oh, and this internal or like what we've done, it'll last like a month, like all this. And I'm like, my skin feels as dry getting out of the shower now as it's ever felt. I don't know that it feels like it's super hydrated necessarily.
Okay. Well,
so I don't know, maybe it's different places, maybe different places use different stuff. I don't know. I just was kind of like, okay.
Now, have you been doing any microneedling? Have you done that lately or recently?
I really haven't. You know, I feel like since I started using the Sunday Riley stuff, because at night I've been doing that. I do the Luna oil and then I do the Good Genes over it, which is supposed to be this deep. Like I don't feel like I need the other.
Okay, that's high praise.
So
that's high praise.
Yeah, I mean, I really like, I feel like the Sunday Riley products they are pricey, but I do feel like they are ones, like I've tried other pricey products where I've been like, yeah, that's not worth the money. I do feel like they're worth the money.
Now, have I talked on the podcast, and I think I probably have. Have I talked on the podcast about the Marc Jacobs eyeliner?
Is that the one you got with Jamie?
Yeah, I got the first one with Jamie and with our friend Jamie Golden, and we were at Sephora, and so I bought one because Jamie, I think, was disappointed. That was all I bought in the store. But I've since gone back and gotten another one. I love it so much. And I'm a bad eyeliner wearer because I apparently touch my eyes a lot. My eyes water. I laugh until I cry about four times a day. I just am not a great eye makeup wearer, but I love that eyeliner so much. And it's one of those things where it's a little pricier than a normal eyeliner, kind of like the Sunday Riley stuff. But I'm like, well, there's a reason because it stays on.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't irritate my eyes at all. And I wear contacts. And so I can be a little sensitive around the eye area, but I love it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's good to know. I may want to try that. So do you smudge it a little bit or do you feel like it just goes on?
No,
like
on a little smudgy. It's got a self sharpener. And then, when you extend it, it sharpens a little bit. And then it's got a sharpener on the bottom if you like a super fine, you know, little bit of eyeliner. I just put it on without using the other sharpener, and it's a little smudgy, which I like because I don't have super wide eyes. And so I like a little bit of smudge just because I feel like it draws attention to them a little more. So, anyway, but I love it. I think it's so great.
Okay.
I don't ever want to be without it. I mean, it's kind of like the Urban Decay, the Naked eyeshadow palette that I love so much. Or the Naked Basics that I love so much. I'll never be without that. I don't think I'll ever be without this eyeliner. I think I'm in it for the long haul. And I have also it really is. I have also over the last couple of weeks used the Shape Tape for the first time, the concealer.
Yes, yes.
I'm a huge fan. Because I'm gonna tell you what I've got going on right now underneath my eyes. Is broke down. I mean, it is. It is a whole new level of humbling. I would shoot collagen in there myself every day if I could. Like, it's just like over the last year or so, whatever was plump down there has surrendered. I was telling somebody last night that, my friend Tracy's grandmother, every time she would get ready to get off the phone, she would just decide she was done talking, and it didn't matter what anybody was saying to her. She'd just go, so bye. And she'd hang up like, so bye. So what I'm telling you is that whatever has plumped my eyes underneath over the last year or so has so bye'd me. It says so bye.
So bye. Okay.
I'm done. So bye. And so the Shape Tape really helps with the shadows now that live there. And it's bright, like it's, but it's not chalky. So because, you know, a real chalky concealer, all it does is just accentuate all your fine lines.
I was going to say it gets in all those lines.
Yeah. So I just dot it underneath my eye about five times underneath each eye. And then I just dab it. Mm-hmm. And then I also dot it around my nose where I can get a little discolored sometimes or in the mornings where like I have creases on each side of my nose because wrinkles are just everywhere. And then I'll dot it sometimes if I look real creasy around my mouth in the morning, I'll just dot it down there and blot it in. It's just a good first layer on top of your sunscreen. It's just a good first layer. And then I you know, if I feel like wearing CC cream that day, I'll put that on top. But I'll also just do the shape tape and then some powder. So I really like it.
That is good to know. Okay. Mm-hmm. I am going to have to, I think Gully uses the shape tape. Caroline uses the shape tape. I don't, I probably could benefit from it, but I really, my under eye area, you know, I have areas I don't like. My under eyes don't necessarily bother me so much right now. Like, they're fine. But I have other, mainly the lines around my mouth or what, because I'm like, for somebody who's never smoked, it feels very unfair that I have these lines.
You could have been smoking all this time.
I could have been smoking all this time. And now, as it turns out, it feels like it's not fair. But on that note, I picked up in Target last week. I was there running some errands and I made a couple of swings through their cosmetic department because I was there, but I picked up on a whim because I was intrigued by it. It's Maybelline and it's their Super Stay Ink Crayon Lipstick.
Oh, I've never heard of this.
Well, I had not either, but I was intrigued by it because I do like a lip, I like a lip liner to help because I feel like when you do get those lines around your mouth, it helps to be able to more, you know, to better define your actual lip shape.
Yes.
And then I like the little stick, what am I trying to say? You know, like Clinique has the little chubby stick. Like I like those crayon type lipstick applicators, but this is a thinner, like it's got a fine tip. It's got a built-in sharpener. It's like a pencil, but you fill in so you can line your lips with it. And then you can fill in your lips with it. So it's the consistency and texture of a lipstick, but it works almost more like a lip liner and it really does stay. Like it really does last. But I really like the way it feels. And so it's all matte finishes. I got one called Lead the Way, which is just a real kind of a brownie, peachy, mauvey kind of thing. But they have all kinds of different colors. But I really, really like it. It's become my go-to that I put on every morning because I feel like I know it'll last. And then because I like my lips, like every now and then I'll still put gloss on during the day, but the color stays.
Okay.
Yeah, I really like it.
So what's it called again?
Maybelline Super Stay Ink Crayon Lipstick.
Okay. They really thought that through in terms of something that would be easy to remember.
Super Stay Ink Crayon Lipstick. Well, that's why I had to look it up because I was like, I don't even remember the name. I just know it's like a crayon lipstick, but it's Super Stay Ink Crayon Lipstick. But it's really good. So if you're looking for something new, it's got good staying power. It doesn't feel dry and it doesn't, you know, some of those can feel super drying and it doesn't feel like that. And it doesn't get all icky on your lips. I just, every now and then, just because, especially when, because it has been windy in San Antonio, as you know, it's been affecting our internet. So I like to put a little gloss on just to keep my lips moisturized.
Well, that sounds fantastic.
So,
okay,
there you go.
We've made it to the end. It feels like it went fast. At least it did for me. People listening may be going, no, that wasn't so fast to me, but it felt fast to me.
Now we do have to mention just briefly, because I know we don't need to talk about football all the time, but our teams do play each other this weekend.
Oh, that's right. They do. See, I blocked it from my brain.
I do.
Yes.
Well, they're playing. I mean, it's a testament to our season that we're playing in the prime Saturday spot of 11 a.m. in the morning on the SEC network. Tells you what a powerhouse matchup they're expecting this to be. Really decide who's going to finish second to last in the SEC West.
That's exactly
so
right.
So it's a big one. It's a big one. So,
I know. I thought the other day when we were driving back home from Starkville and I was listening to y'all's game against Ole Miss and I thought, you know, so I didn't really know what to expect out of our team this season, but I did expect that both of us would be in a different place than we are currently.
Yes.
I was somewhat more hopeful than maybe I needed to be.
Yes. Yes. I agree. I'm going to say that my hope for the weekend, and not because, you know, obviously I'm going to be cheering for A&M, but I did see a statistic that said that if the Aggies manage to beat y'all, it will be the first season since 2013 where we've managed to beat both the Mississippi teams in a season.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, apparently the Mississippis, because y'all were always, we always faced one or both of the Mississippi teams when we'd start that November slide into oblivion. Like that was always the, it was like we were going along and then we were like the Sooner Schooner that tipped over on Saturday. Like it was like, we're going and yeah. That was like Aggie football season. So, I mean, it feels like it would be a moral victory if we could manage to beat y'all on Saturday, but I'm not really banking any of my hopes, dreams, or state of mind on that particular outcome.
Listen, I'm just going to tell you, this is where I am. Here's where I am with football season. I got home Saturday. We got home Saturday night, and I pondered sort of the state of the football season. And when I woke up Sunday morning and looked on Twitter, they announced that State was going to be playing UAB in fall baseball here in Birmingham mm-hmm. on Sunday afternoon. And it was like, I thought, well, this is what hope feels like again, because I was like, oh, another sport. Oh, another yes. sport. Now we didn't get to go, but I was just like, oh, we can go see something yeah. besides football. And listen, we had a great time and our team mm-hmm. played really hard. I was impressed yeah. by our effort. We played really hard the whole game. We played a great first half. I think uh-huh. that they're, you know, it looks like they're trying to move in a good direction. But I have very realistic expectations for this weekend. I think it's hard to go play in College Station. So that's what I think about that.
Well, not according to Kirk Herbstreit, because he basically said, "Why is everybody so afraid of Kyle Field? When was the last time we were dominant there?" Which fair point. But, you know, why do you need to kick us when we're down, Kirk Herbstreit? So that's it. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
But hopefully.
I missed that.
Hopefully. It was like on an Instagram thing. It was all over Aggie everything because they were basically making fun of us. But, you know, it's okay. It's all going to be okay. It's a rebuilding year, and, you know, it is what it is. So, and really I'll be at a soccer game anyway, so I won't even be able to watch the game. So,
right.
I'll just be following on Twitter, which is probably for the best.
Always.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, we hope y'all are having the best week, and we will be back next week. So it won't be long now. And if you're one of our Patreon subscribers, we will have our October Q&A coming out in just a couple of days.
That's right. See y'all later.
All right. We'll talk to y'all later. Bye.
Bye.